We begin the current daf Masechtas Nedarim, daf Mem Gimel. We begin on the bottom of daf Mem Beis Mem Beis, three lines up at the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme and the thread of the previous Mishnayos, which discussed this halacha of Hamudr Hano Mechaberi. If someone's forbidden, based on a neder, to have pleasure from his friend, what are the ramifications and parameters of this halacha? So the Mishnah tells us, Hamudr Hano Mechaberi, if someone's forbidden to have Hano from his friend because of a neder that was made, so first of all, lo yashi leno, he should not lend him. So the mudr should not lend to the madr. I think we'll explain the reasoning for that, why should that be forbidden. That is, he's forbidden to have pleasure from the madr, the one who made a vow against him. But the madr wasn't made forbidden from him, so why can he not lend him? And that's the halacha of the Mishnah, neither can he lend him. And of course, v'lo yishlam imenu, he can't borrow from him. In other words, the mudr, the one who's the subject of the neder, cannot take hana'ah, cannot borrow from the madr, the one who made a vow against him, because obviously he's going to be having hana from him by borrowing what he wants from him. So to lo yilveno, the mudr should not lend to the madr, and lo yilveno mimenu, he shouldn't borrow from him, where the two different terms, she'ela and halva, she'ela is regarding something that's extant, in other words, something that you borrow and you turn that same item itself, like borrowing his animal or his utensils. Halva alone applies to something that is not returned the same item itself, rather like when you borrow money, which is that you owe money, you return money, but not the same exact money because you use that money. So neither can you borrow or lend. And same thing is, he shouldn't sell to the madr, and they shouldn't purchase from him. So we continue on top of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara wonders regarding this halacha of our Mishnah. Now the Ran has a different gears in the Gemara, so we're going to explain it according to the Taisvis. The Gemara asks as follows, Bishlemi lo yulveno, we understand why the malva, why the madr shouldn't lend to the mudr, because obviously the gemahanile, because he's going to be giving hana to the mudr. You can't give a loan to the someone that you said he's forbidden to have hana from you because you're obviously giving him some pleasure by lending him money. But elo lo yilva he menu, but why cannot the vower borrow money from the mudr? It's a one-way neder. Why can't he have hana from the mudr? My kamahanile, what is the mudr? What pleasure is the mudr having from the madr when the mudr is lending to the madr? Obvious question. In other words, because it's a one-way neder, he can't give pleasure to him when the subject is lending to the madr. Is not giving him, and the mudr is not getting anything. To the contrary, he's lending to the madr. What would be wrong with that? So the Gemara continues and says, and even if you're going to say, ubishlem elo yilvahim, and even if we'll understand and say, the case of that the madr should not borrow money from the mudr, and also v'lo yikichemenu, that they should not buy from each other. In other words, as we said, the third category, there was borrowing objects, borrowing money, and selling and buying. So regarding the question that was asked, we could, what's called bedeichik, find a way out of that question. And we'll say, because there is pleasure. As Taisa explains, regarding the case of a sale, would be, as we explained in the previous daftim, regarding what's called a zvina metzia, a middle type of a sale where actually both the seller and the buyer gain. Because it's what's called zvina harifa, like an easily sellable item, the seller doesn't gain because he could sell it to anyone in a moment, the gain would go to the lekach. And same thing, if it's a hard to sell item, the only one that would be gaining would be the meicher, not the lekach. But so we understand the case of a Mishnah could be told about by a sale, which both gain. So obviously you cannot go ahead and buy from him or sell to him, because either one, if he's the buyer or the purchaser, is if he's the buyer or the seller, he's going to gain from such a sale. So we understand that. So too we could understand the case of why the madr should not borrow money from the mudr, because we could explain it that because when the madr will be paying back, maybe he's going to pay back better coins, higher quality, more easily used than the ones which were lent to him. So we could understand why there should be such a halacha of the last two cases of lo yimkar v'lo yikachemenu, again as regarding a middle type of sale. And we could also understand regarding loaning money, where obviously the madr can't lend the mudr money, but moreover that even the mudr can't lend the madr money, because although the first way around, when he's lending him the money, obviously the mudr is not getting any hana, but when he's paying him back, then he might get a hana because he might give him back better coins than what was lent in the first place. But elo lo yishal heimenu, but regarding the mudr lending to the madr, either a utensil or something that's returned as is, so my kamas hanimine. What exactly is the mudr getting hana? What is the mother giving to the mudr by borrowing from the mudr? Why should it be forbidden if the isr hana is only from the mother to the mudr, and here all hana is actually going from the mudr to the mother? So on that, the Gemara says two interpretations. Amar Biyisa Bar Chanina says, you're right, kagoyin shenadru hana zemizah. Not like the way we tried explaining in the beginning of the Havmin of the Gemara, that find a way that it could actually be, even though it's a one-way nether, to say that it'll be, the Muddha will be getting Hana. It's actually talking about the case of a Mishnah. It's talking about that when it says a Muddha no Mechaver, it's a two-way nether. And that's why you can't borrow and lend. You can't sell and buy. You can't, because it's both of them that have an Isra Hana on each other. Abayami says, actually, it is a one-way nether. But Gezer Lishol Mishom Lahashal. And the reason why you can't borrow is because you might lend. And Mechem Mekul Gezer, all of them are the same Gezer. And that is that the mother can't borrow from the mother, because then the mother might borrow from the mother. And if the mother borrows from the mother, then they will be giving him Hanoah, and that's why, so it's because of a gezerah. So, and that answers the question, either because it's a two-way or it's a one-way, but we're concerned it might turn into a two-way, and that's why you can't do either one of those transactions, because then the mother might be giving to the mother. Now, continuing on the related vein, at least in the first part of this coming Mishnah, because we mentioned this idea about she'ela, about borrowing, so the Mishnah brings the following halacha. Amaloi, if someone said to his friend, Hashileni parascha, lend me your cow. Amaloi, so he said to him, Ein pnui, it's not available. I can't lend it out to you. So Amar, he said, out of rage, he was so upset, Kainim sada, you know what? My field is forbidden, based on the nether, Shani charish b'la'olam, that I will ever go ahead and plow with your cow. That's it, I'm done with your stuff. Now, this is the borrower saying it because he's angry because the guy didn't want to lend it to him. So what happens if, let's say, later the person says, okay, it's available now, you can use the cow, but he already made a nether that he's never going to use it to plow his field. So the Mishnah explains as follows. Im ho'yadarki lacharish, if this borrower, normally he would plow with the cow, with the animal. So now that he made the nether, hu asur v'chol adam mutarim, so he's forbidden, because since he's the one that normally plows, we understand that we interpret when he was saying, that's it, my field's forbidden with this cow, meant to say that he's not going to do it. But everyone else is going to be permitted to use that person's cow to plow this borrower's field. But if that person himself, he never does the plowing. Rather, other people do it for him. And now he said that that person's cow is forbidden based on the nether, as a kainim, to plow his field. So who v'chol al the masurim? So therefore him and everybody else would be forbidden to plow his field with that person's cow, because obviously when he made the net, there wasn't for his own plowing, because he never plows at all. Rather, it's that he doesn't want to have the pleasure of plowing, of his field being plowed with that person's cow, and therefore him and every single person would be forbidden to plow his field because of him, so that he doesn't have that hana from that person's plowing. And now the Mishnah resumes the discussion of the previous Mishnais, which we were discussing, of hamudr hana mechaveret. If someone's forbidden based on a nether to have pleasure from his friend, now, but however, the ein lo ma yoichel, doesn't have what to eat. So what does he do? Now the madr, the one who made the vow, can't give him anything. But on that, the Mishnah says that there's a way out of this problem. Hoylech eitz lachenveni. The madr goes to a storekeeper. Now actually, the gears of the Ran is, as it is in other places, is that harogel etzlo. He actually goes to the storekeeper where this mudar usually goes to shop. And on that, the Ran says that that's an added chiddush, and that is, even though the mudar usually goes to this store, and he always buys on credit, still there's not going to be a problem with the mudar making sure that it works out, that he could continue buying on credit. And we don't say that it's as if it's the shlichus, an extension of the mudar paying for the mudar's food. And therefore, the Ran says, all the more so, if he didn't tell a specific person, like the storekeeper, rather he would say, what would be called, whoever feeds him is not going to lose, for sure that's going to be permitted, as the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubos, Daf Ayin Amud Beis. So the Mishnah tells us what the Madhu does like this. He goes to the storekeeper, and even, let's say, the normal store where this guy shops. Vayman, he says like this. He goes, Ish Pleini, and the Girs is Mudar. Ish Pleini Mudar Mimen Hana. This person, you know, one of your regular customers, he's forbidden based on the neder to have hana for me. Now, v'eini de amahasa, I don't know what to do. He's my friend, but now I made a neder against him. And you know he's bankrupt. He's already used up all his credit. You can't sell any more items to him. I don't know what to do. Now, he gets the hint. V'hu naisin loy. Now, the storekeeper gives the items that the customer wants. Ubav v'naitl mezeh. And now he comes and he collects from the mother. Now, as Aram points out, what it means to say is, meaning if he wants to, meaning obviously the storekeeper can't go into debt because of this one customer. If he wants to, that is all, what the chiddush, what the novelty of the Mishnah is saying is that even though ultimately he's going to collect from the mother for the food that's being given to the mudur, and they know that this is what is going on, still it's not considered that he's the shliach of the mother, because if he was a shliach, obviously that would be forbidden, because he would just be an extension of the mother giving to the mudur, which is forbidden to give it to him. And the reason being is because you're only considered like a shliach, like his emissary, only if the mother says a terminology like whoever hears what I'm saying should feed him, as the Gemara says in Ksuba, that's a problem. Now, but the Ran does say, you can't say that when the Mishnah says ubo v'noitl mizeh, that now then the storekeeper, the chemene, could go ahead and collect from the mother, meaning that that is the halacha, that now he's obligated to give him, because if he was obligated to pay up the storekeeper, then actually that would be considered, obviously he's a shliach, because if he has to pay him, means to say he authorized him to do that, and that's why you have to pay me. But then it would be considered like he's being mahana the mudah, which would be forbidden. Therefore, the Ran explains what the Mishnah is saying is, meaning if he wants to, meaning the mother really wants to, the chemeni, however, can't demand it from the mother, because if he could, then it would be considered like the mother is really hiring the storekeeper to give to the mudah, which is forbidden. It just means to say that if they really understand the altruism of each other, and they know that this, they want to take care of this person, but they can't because of the nether, so he just gives it to him, and then later he goes to him and he gives him the money of the produce. Similarly, the Mishnah says, if the mudr had a house he had to build. Now, as the Ram points out, this is what's known in the halach of loizu avzu katani. In other words, we're saying even bigger chedushim. In the ratio, we said that if he doesn't have food, it's permitted to do this operation. Now, the Sefer is saying even more, that even if it's not for his basic sustenance, it's just to build a house, still this mechanism of circumventing the nether is still permitted. So let's say he had a house he had to build, or gedei ligdor, or a wall to build, or sedei ligdor, or a field to be reaped. So what does he do? He can't do it for him. He can't hire workers for him because he's forbidden based on the nether. So what he does is the same thing. He goes to workers and he says like this. He goes, "Ish pleini mudim imenhano. This person is forbidden based on the nether for me to give him any pleasure. Veini dmas. I don't know what to do. He's my good friend. I want to give him, but I can't." Now they realize what he means to say. So they work for that guy. And they go to him to pay them up. And again, that's not a violation of the Isser because he's not giving to this person. These people are doing, and then he's going ahead and paying this person, but it's not because they're not his shlichim, they're just doing working for him, and then he's paying them. Now, the Mishnah says, but let's say they're walking on the road, and the mother doesn't have what to eat, but the mother can't give him. So what he does is that he gives to somebody else that's with them as a gift. Now, once that's done, now when that other person gives to the mother, the mother didn't give pleasure to the mother. It's from the one who got the gift that gives to him that he's getting hanah from. And therefore, that's permitted. Bahalal mutarba, and therefore then the mudr is permitted in that. Now, but what do you do? It's just the two of them, and the mudr is starving, and there's no one for him to give it to. So now the Tanakhama says, so he puts the food on a rock or on a wall, and he says, harehin mufkarin l'chom mishayach, but this is ownerless for whoever wants it. Now this other person, the mudr, goes and takes it and he eats it. And the reason is because he's not even enough from the mother. He's getting it from hefker, from ownerless items. And that's therefore it's permitted. But Rabbi Yisi says it's forbidden, as the Gemara now is going to explain why current Rabbi Yisi is forbidden. Seemingly he's not giving him anything. It's hefker, it's not mine anymore. Not mine. He could take it. He's not getting it from me. So now the Gemara wonders, I'm Rabbi Yechanan. My time at the Rabbi Yisi, what's the reason, Rabbi Yisi? Why does he hold that it's forbidden? If the mother is mafkrit, the mudu can't take it. So that the Gemara explains because kasavar hefker kematana. Rabbi Yisi holds that the functionality of hefker, of declaring something ownless, is like someone that's gifting something to someone else. And that is ma matana, just like a gift. Ad'asim rishos neisin rishos makabel, that in the interim time that it takes to get from the one who's gifting it to the one who's receiving it. In other words, if someone says, I'm giving a gift to that person, he could retract as long as it didn't come to the hand of the receiver. So af hefker, the same thing applies to declaring something ownless, ad the asilur shazaycha, until it reaches the domain of someone who merits it from the hefker, it doesn't get removed from the domain of the owner until someone else merits it. And therefore, as long as someone else didn't merit it, he could still retract, and he doesn't have to reacquire it, it's still his. So therefore, what comes out according to Rabbi Yossi, when the mudr merits it and is zeiche in that piece of hefker, essentially he's really getting it from the mother, because it's still the mother's on some level until someone else takes it. So therefore, though it's quote hefker, he's really, but since we see that the mother could still change his mind and doesn't have to reacquire it, it's still his if he changes his mind. So therefore, essentially, it's still the mother's, and that's why Rabbi Yossi holds you can't put it on the rock, it's not helping, it's still coming from the mother to the mudr. Now, on that Masar Rabbah asks from the following Braisa, which elaborates on this Machlokes of Rabbi Yossi in the Tanakama of our Mishnah. Tanakama says, as he says in the Mishnah, you put it on the wall or on the rock, and this person comes, he takes it and he eats it. Rabbi Yossi says it's forbidden. Now, on that Rabbi Yossi, he qualifies part of his halach and he says, Amasai, when did I say that it's going to be forbidden to just be mafgrid, and even in such a case, the mudr can't come and take it? That's bisman shenidre kodim lefker. That's in like the case of our Mishnah, where the person first made it forbidden to the mudr as a neder, and then he's declaring it ownless. Now, however, as we get on to Medbeis, but Rabbi Yossi says, avalem hoye hefker kodim lenidre, but if he had first made the loaf hefker, then after he made it hefker and it's on the wall, he says, you, the mudr, are forbidden to have anah from me. So that Rabbi Yossi says, hari is a mutter. So then the loaf of bread is going to be permitted because it's already hefker before he got it, before he made the neder. So it wasn't his. It's not in his items to make it forbidden. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. But in that, Rabbi Abba asks on Rabbi Yochanan, but V'i Amr, if you say that ad de aslur shazich, you're explaining in Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that until it comes to the domain of someone that merits it, it's still considered the mother's. So Mali Nidre Koyin Lefkeri. So why does Rabbi Yossi differentiate between if the neder was made before you made a hefker or Mali Hefkeri Koyin Lenidre? Why should it be any different if you made a hefker and then made a neder? Because you said that as long as someone else didn't merit it, it is still the mother's. It's still the one who made a hefker. So therefore, it's not true the way Rabbi Yossi is saying in the Braisa, the way you're interpreting his opinion. Because the neder should take effect, even if it was first mafgrid. Who cares? Mafgrid is still the mother's. So why does Rabbi Yossi say in the Braisa that it's going to be mutter in such a case, but based on your interpretation of his opinion, the reason why it's usa to do this thing of mafgrid is because it's still considered his and it's going from the mother to the mudr. So even if he's mafgrid first, it should still be forbidden to the mudr, but yet in the Braisa he says clearly that it's permitted. So now the Gemara says, who maisavla v'hu mashanila? Rababa, he's the one who asked the question, and he gave the answer. And he says, you're right. That the truth is that the one who's being mafgrit could retract, because it is still his, the way Rabbi Yochanan, the way the Gemara had explained the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that is, Rabbi Yochanan had said it, that it's still considered his, and therefore it's going from the mother to the mudr. And if he would have explicitly said, in the case of mafkrit and then bin madrit, that he wants to make forbidden on that person even what he was mafkir, of course the neder would take effect, because you're right, it is still considered in his domain after he was mafkrit. But here the reason why Rabbi Yossi qualifies in the Braisa and says that if he was mafkrit first and then he was madrit, that it's going to be permitted to the mudr, is for a different reason. It's because kol neder, whoever makes a neder, that is, he just generally makes an isra on someone else, he's not thinking about something that he declared ownerless. So although in halacha, in monetary rights, it's still considered his on some level, you're right. But when someone says something is hefker, although it's still his until someone else merits it, he's not thinking about that when he's declaring all his things as usr, as a neder on somebody else. And that's why it's going to be permitted in such a case. So it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. The reason why in Rabbi Yossi's halacha, when you first make a neder and then mafkir, the reason why you can't go ahead and have the mudr take from it is because it's still going to be coming from the mudr to the mudr. So on that, so if it's still in his rishus, so why does hefker then making a neder permitted if it is his and he should be able to make a neder? The truth is he could, but he's not, because he's not having in mind something that already declared ownerless. And however, most of Rava. However, Rava asks on this interpretation from the following brisa. We're going to explain this brisa, this Gemara, the question of Rava according to the interpretation of the Rush. This is going on the brisa that's talking about a shchivmer. A shchivmer has unique halachas, which is a person on his deathbed, where although generally if you want to give something to someone else, if you're selling something or giving, you have to make a kinyan. The halacha with a shchivmer, a person on his deathbed, is different, that he could just say it, and it has the halacha like a kinyan was done, because we don't want him to be perturbed. It might cause him to die because of the concern. We want him to be at ease, so we say whatever you say is going to be fulfilled. Now, there are certain unique parameters of a shchivmer. So the Brisa is told about a case where the person on his deathbed, he's divvying up his properties because he's dying, and he gives miktsasen l'rishon. He gives part of his properties to the first person, and that is with a kinyan, with an acquisition. Because as we're going to see, the first person is, although it's a shchivmer doing it, but he actually has the halachic status as what's called matnas bari, which is when a regular healthy person wants to give someone something. The reason is because a shchivmer generally gives away everything. If he's giving away part of it, we're talking about that he did it with an actual kinyan, an acquisition. Now, after he gives part of his properties to one person, then he says, v'kulon l'shein, I want all my stuff to go to the second person. So the halach is as follows. Rishon kana. In other words, if it turns out that this person on his deathbed ends up living, he doesn't die. So the halach is regarding the first person, he can't retract. In other words, that's one of the unique halachas of a shchimra, where although what he says happens and the other person gets it, if he survives, that wasn't the understanding of that he's giving it away. He was only giving it away because he's going to die. If he ends up living, actually everyone has to give it back to him, and it's not considered a gift. But in this case, even if the shchimra ends up surviving, the first person doesn't have to give it back, and he does acquire it. And the reason being is because, as we said before, when the gifting of the shchimra is only in part of his estates, it actually has the same halacha as what's called a matnas bari, unless if he says specifically that he's giving part of his estate because he's dying, then they'll have the halacha as a shchimra. But if he only gives part, that shows that he really wants to give it as a full-fledged kinyan, because if he's giving it because he's dying, he would give everything away. So therefore, the first one who only gave part of it, and therefore it must be that he gave a full-fledged kinyan, because or else it wouldn't even work as a bari, meaning as a healthy type of a kinyan from a healthy person. So we're talking about that he gave with a kinyan, and since it wasn't everything, he is kainit. But sheini loikana. The second person doesn't acquire anything. Now the reason being is because since he's giving everything to the second person, who gives away everything? That's only a dying person. So therefore it's coming within the framework of the halacha of shchimra. Therefore that's the old halacha where if someone survives, so then you have to give it back and it's not considered a matan. That's what the brisa says. Now what's Rav's question from this brisa? Rav's question is as follows. From the fact that the first person is going to be kind, that he could keep this gift, which was given for part of this person's estates, obviously we're considering when he's giving all of it, when he says v'kul and all of it to go to the second person, it's what's called nimlach. It's that he changed his mind. And that is as follows. When he originally gave to the first person part of his estates, he didn't have in mind to give to the second person. In other words, if we would think that when we're saying that he's giving, the words are he's giving part of his estates to one person and all of it to the second person. Now, there is a way of explaining it that doesn't contradict each other. It's not like he changed his mind, meaning he's splitting up his estates. First, he always had a mind to give to these two people. Now, but the first person is giving some of it, and when he says v'kulon, he means the rest. The remainder should go to the second one. If that was what he meant to say, then actually even the first one would not acquire it, even though he's only giving him part of it. And the reason being is because, as the Gemara says in Perek Misha Meis, that a shchivmer, a dying person that writes all his properties to other people, so the halacha there is brought that we see. If he was being mechalak his nechasim, he didn't give to one person everything. So generally that means to say that it's not coming within the framework of shchivmer, it's coming as a regular kinyan, which should work even if he survives. But if he's, yes, he only gave part of it, but because he gave part, and he gave away everything by giving to everybody parts, then actually, if he dies, so then everyone gets it. But if he survives, everybody has to give it back. Because that was matnas shchimra, just he gave everything away, just everyone got just a little bit. But if it's because you see that he retracted, in other words, he first wanted to give one person part of it. Then he changed his mind and said, no, I'm not going to give him part of it. I'm going to give everything to this other person. Then if he dies, so everyone gets what he had given them. But if he survives, then the only one that loses out is the last one. Because the first ones were given because as a mountainous bar, because he only gave them part of it. Now, if that would... So therefore, the Rush explains Rava's question as follows. Since we're considering that the second person that he's giving everything to is Nimlach, that he's changing his mind, as we just explained, because if he wasn't changing his mind, and that is he's really just giving the first one part of it, and when he says Kulan is to the second one, it means the rest, then actually it wouldn't be the halacha of the Braisa that the first one's kinda even if he survives, because that would be like the halacha of Mechalik, where he's giving it all away to everybody, just each one's getting a small amount of peace, so even the first one wouldn't get it. So obviously what we're saying, the case of the Braisa is told about that he changed his mind. He initially wanted to give this guy something, and I didn't think about the second person. When I remembered that second person, I was like, oh, I don't want to give this guy part of it. I want to give everything to this second person. So if so, that means to say that the words cool on the, when he says l'sheni, that all of it goes to the second one, it's even going on the miktsas, the part of my estate that he said to the first guy. And that is because that when he has in mind, he had in mind to retract from the gift that he gave to the first one, if he could, even though originally when he said part of it goes to the first one, he didn't have in mind to give to the second one. But then again, as we explained, he then went and he changed his mind, what's called Nimlach, to retract. Oh, I didn't want to give that first person. Oh, he's not my best friend. The second person I want to give everything to. And because, as we said, because the Bekulan L'Sheni meant only what's left over from after that, what he gave the gift to the first one, then again, as we said, then the first one, why would he be kinda if the Shchivmer ends up surviving, that would be considered in the realm of Chila Kol Mechasav, and that would be a Matna Shchivmer in all his properties, just everyone's getting a little bit, and therefore then the first one wouldn't get. So obviously, again, as we said, that it must be that when he's giving to the second one, it's because he's retracting and he wants to give everything, even what he had already given away to the first person. Now, that Rav is asking, so you see that when a person is giving something to someone, or when he's doing something now, it could be even what he had already given away, if he could. So therefore, Rav is asking that here also, when you were mafker something already, you already gave it away, it's not yours anymore. Still you see the person's das, when he's saying, all my things are forbidden, will even include something that was already given away, just like over there. When he wants to give kulon l'sheni, you see kulon obviously means everything, even what he really gave away, again, because if it wasn't what he given away, then the first one, the halacha, the braisa, wouldn't be true. First one wouldn't get, as we just explained. So it goes on everything, even what he really gave away. I want everything to go to this person. You see, his das is even what he really gave away. So then the same thing should apply over here. The halacha should be, even if it was mafgrid, the halacha of the rabbis and the braisa doesn't make sense according to the interpretation, the resolution of Rebbe for the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, where he made a differentiation that, yes, Rabbi Yochanan is correct in his interpretation of Rabbi Yisi. And that is, Rabbi Yisi Halacha is based on the premise that it can't go straight from the Madir to the Mudir, and Hefker is still in his domain. So why doesn't it work when he's Mafker and then Mudir if it's still in his domain? Because, he's not thinking about it. And that Rava disproves in the Braisa. Obviously, you see that a person's thought process is even on something that he gave away already. If he could at least retract, and here where he was Mafker, something that he could retract, so most definitely, his das should be on that, and therefore it should be usur, even in such a case. But Rabbi Yisi says clearly not like that. He says, if you mafkir and then you made the nether, that then it is going to be permitted for the mudr. So Elam HaRav, or rather Rav, gives a different interpretation to the halacha of Rabbi Yisi, not like Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Hayna Tamei de Rabbi Yisi, the reason Rabbi Yisi, why he says that it's forbidden, unlike the Tana Kama, to be mafkir something and permit the mudr to go ahead and eat it in that way, even though it's not coming from the mother to the mudr, is a gezeir mishum matnas beis charen. It's a decree because of this incident which happened, was the gift of beis charen. And that is, truthfully, Rav explains that definitely, even according to Rabbi Yisi, the halacha would be that it is permitted, like the Tanna Kamma said, if you're mafker something, so it's not going from the mother to the mudr. And that is the reason is, not like Rabbi Yochanan had said, from the moment a person declares something onulis, it's removed from his domain. And therefore, essentially, the mudr should be able to go ahead and take from it. Now, however, the reason why Rabbi Yisi says it's forbidden is because we know, obviously, why is this guy making suddenly on the road his loaf of bread hefker, is only so that the mudah should be able to eat it. Now the problem with that is if we let that go, what happens is that might cause a situation where he's going to say explicitly that he doesn't want anyone else to take it. He's saying, oh, I'm being mafkiz of this so that you could eat from that, which was exactly what happened in the incident of Beis Chayrin. Whereas the Mishnah teaches us later on in the Perek that what happened is that somebody had made a neder against his father that he couldn't have any hanah from him. Problem is, he was marrying off his own son and he wanted the grandfather to come, but he couldn't because everything he had was forbidden to his father. So he gifted everything, the whole wedding ceremony, to someone else so that now it's not his. So now his father could come. Problem is, that guy was a smart aleck and he went and was makdish everything because it's mine. On that, he says, No, it's not yours. I didn't really mean it's yours. I only did it so that my father could come and eat from that. And that's a joke. Because obviously, if it's still his, it's forbidden for his father to come. And that wasn't a real hefker. And that is why Rabbi Yisin de Braisa says that it's only a problem when you make the neder before you make it hefker. That's usa, because that's definitely applicable for the gzera, because obviously you're only being mafkrid because of the neder. And that might cause a situation like Beis Chayrin, which is one big joke, and you can't really do that if you're saying explicitly that I'm only being mafkrid so that you could have from it, but really it's still mine. If it's still mine, it's going from the mother to the mudr, and that's forbidden. But that's what Abishai says in the Braisa, that if it's first mafkrid and then it makes the neder, that's permitted, because of course there's no problem. Because Rabbah holds that even Rabbi Yisi agrees, when you mafkrit, it's not yours. If it's not yours, and then you make the nether, so of course the nether is not going to make that item forbidden. And also that doesn't apply to the gezerah of what we said of applies by matnas beis charin, because that's only when you make the nether, and then you're stuck with that, so you mafkrit because of that situation. But if you mafkrit first, that's what Rabbi Yisi says, you're not going to run into any problems of this gezerah beis charin.